Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you up to date with all the happenings in Cork sport as well as further afield. Stack show for you today. A little later on, we'll be hearing from Irish international rugby players Calvin Nash and Christy Haney. But first, we're going to hear from our very own Ger McCarthy, who's currently out for us at the Bantry Blues versus Ive Leary clash. But he was also in Macroom last night as well.
Donnie's 214, Kilimatra 14 points. That's the final score from Friday night's McCarthy Insurance Group Senior A Football Championship County Quarterfinal in front of a large attendance in Macroom. It was the West Cork club who emerged triumphant from a cracking game in which Adam O'Donovan's green flag and an unfortunate own goal proved crucial scores. Kilimatra held a slender 3-2 lead after the opening 10 minutes. A scrappy spell followed before the closing stages of the first half warmed up and the West Cork team gained their first lead of the evening. Then, a black card for Donnie's Barry O'Donovan handed their opponents an opportunity. The Muskrie club was unable to capitalise on its numerical advantage, however, and it was Donnie's who changed ends, 7-5 ahead. The bare minimum was between the teams when Adam O'Donovan found the top corner with a rasping drive after 35 minutes. The sides exchanged scores during a rip-roaring fourth quarter as Kilimatra fought back and levelled 12-1-9. Then, in the 48th minute, an unfortunate own goal where the ball ricocheted off a Kilimatra defender edged Donnie's back in front. From there, the West Cork club kicked for home and a flurry of late scores sent Donnie's through. Last year's Senior A County Championship runners-up Donnie's will now meet Knocknagree in a repeat of their 2023 semi-final clash. Final score from Macroom in the McCarthy Insurance Group Senior A Football Championship, Donnie's 214, Kilimatra 14 points. For Cork's Red FM's Big Red Bench, I'm Ger McCarthy.
And here he is with the post-match audio from Donnie's manager, Declan O'Dwyer.
Declan O'Dwyer, hearty congratulations into the county semi-finals, but a really, really tough game for you.
A tough night, but it was always going to be, like, it was going to be a battle here, like, which is a massive game to come out of, like, a great occasion here in all fairness tonight, and to be to a man, no, they're absolutely outstanding.
Goes to make the difference in the end?
Yeah, look, I suppose, look, you need a bit of luck too, lads, and that second goal, I don't even know how we went in, I didn't even touch it or anything like that, and but you just need that bit of luck, and thank God that luck came for us tonight. Like,
how much has the experience of the last few seasons helped you in games like this?
Oh, it's obvious to see, in my opinion. Look, like, the backs tonight were, you can laud the lads up top every day of the week at the forwards. Everyone knows the forwards we have, but when you have a defender like Donald Rice, who gave a display tonight, I thought, like, it was just out of this world, like, what he did. You know, we gave him a job, and, like, it was every one of them, they were brilliant, brilliant.
If you're on point, you the best possible preparation ever hitting, taking out Knocknagree?
Oh, it's perfect, yeah. Yeah, I suppose it was new last year, having the 4 weeks break leading into the semi-final. But look, it's a perfect scenario now. Like, look, you can see, like, the atmosphere around here. Like, there's a super bunch of lads, and we're back to where we need to be again.
What was the most important thing for you tonight? Obviously to get the win, but also come through without any injuries.
Oh yeah, like, I suppose we held Aaron tonight. Like, look, we thank God we didn't have to go to the scenario where we needed them. And so look, another 2 weeks will really do him good as well. And yeah, perfect night now. In all fairness, it's just a great place to be now tonight. In all fairness to them,
congrats, well done.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Here he is speaking to Donnie's captain, Keith White.
Keith, fantastic result, fantastic night for Donnie's, back in the county semi-final where you want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Look, sure, we were up 2 points at half time, and we knew Kilimatra would get their spell and brought it back level after we get an early goal in the second half. But look, I just spoke to the boys there, and we said a couple of years ago we probably would have caved in when under that pressure, but we're very mature this year. We're after coming on, that county final done us wonders last year, and we're delighted, absolutely delighted now. We're getting ready for 2 weeks time now again.
Yeah, goals are big as well tonight, Adams. Fantastic finish, an unfortunate goal for them, but you'll take them.
Exactly, take them. Look, we were under pressure at the time as well. It was an unfortunate own goal on their behalf, but look, that's sport. So thank God we were on the right receiving end, but could go the opposite way.
It's still a relatively young panel, but the experiences you said of getting to that county final last year, you're back in the semi final in tight situations like this, you seem to know what to do.
We do, exactly. And we were after losing two key players last year in Sean and Johnny, but there's younger lads after stepping up now. You said they were playing with 7 or 8 years, you know. So look, there's a lot of young people there, but we've a very good mix. We've a very mature bunch of lads as well, so that's the core as well.
A tough game tonight, an even tougher one down the road. No, this is excellent preparation for it.
Exactly. Look, we went straight to the semis last year and we were a bit rusty. In that semi final against Knocknagree last year, we took as well to get going. But look, you can't beat games, and especially in a tight game like this tonight. We're delighted to have this game under belt now, and it's only 2 weeks' time, so it's a quick turnaround now again.
And important to get some points off the bench as well. The sub showing that they can add to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, everyone knows if you want to go on and win championships, you have to have a strong squad. And we have. We were struggling with injuries the last couple of games, but we've got everyone back now, fit and ready to go. And you see the impact there from the lads off the bench tonight was excellent, so delighted.
Excellent stuff, best luck with it.
Cheers, thank you, Ger.
So, Yeah, well done to Alan Donnies. Now, earlier on, I got to catch up with the man himself, Ger McCarthy, to discuss the state of play within Cork Club Football, as well as the current weather warning out to take tomorrow's games away from us, potentially. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Ger McCarthy once again. Ger, where are you for us today?
Yeah, I have to check sometimes there exactly where I am. I'm down in Tailkill in West Cork at the home of St. Columb's GAA, their grounds, for tonight's Premier Intermediate Football County Championship quarter final between Bantry and Eve Lira, and I promise it's to be a cracking game. That throws in at 5:30, and for the winners, whoever comes out of this, it's a chance to take on Kilshannon in the semi-final. So a lot to play for here this evening. Throwing is at 5:30.
Who do you think's going to take the spoils in this one, Ger? Is it too close to call for you so far?
Good question. I think Bantry Blues, and for people who don't know, Bantry Blues have lost the last two Premier Intermediate Football Championship County Finals. Kanturk and Kilnamatra getting the better of them over the last 24 months, so it's been difficult for Bantry. They're obviously trying to get back up to the Senior A grade. Rory Dean will probably be their best known player. He's the Cork senior. Had a great year for John Cleary and the Cork senior footballers this year. He's going to be a very important player for them again today. But they have a very talented and a young but a very talented team. Arthur Coakley is a guy you're going to be hearing quite a bit about. He's one of their top, he is their top scorer coming into this last championship and this championship again. And they've got some good forwards as well, and Kevin Casey, Shane Keevers, midfielder Sean Leary and Kevin Coakley are very, very dependable. And they've got a much improved back line this year. Seth Thornton is a cornerback who's done particularly well, Billy Foley in the half back line, and in goal they've got a very competent goalkeeper as well in Michael Casey. So Bantry Blues, Dan, have all the ingredients to get back to another county final. It certainly won't be easy in what's a very, very competitive grade. They finished joint top of their group with Nave of Onn. In fact, they lost to Nave of Onn in their final group match, and this is their first match since then. But they're taking on an Eve Lira team, Eve Leary from the Inchigeela part of the country, or the county, says I, the country. They came second in their group behind Ahabulloch, and, you know, this is an up. They played Bantry on a couple of occasions in recent years, and Bantry have had their number, but they've got some really, really good players in that team, not least Cork senior Chris Oak-Jones, another player that stood out, I think, for John Cleary this year in the red and white. Yeah. At senior level, he's named on the 40. We'll see where he starts this evening. They've also got some very, very good players. Cathal Vaughan is a guy that's come up through the ranks in the Cork underage section. Sean O'Leary at centre back. Daniel O'Rearn's a very, very good full back as well. And the brothers, the O'Leary brothers, Conor O'Leary and Barry O'Leary, in around the middle of the field there. Not much between these teams, Dan. There won't be much in it. I just think Bantry's experience of their previous campaigns and getting to the final, they know how to win knockout games like this. They know how to tough it out, or they know how to go into a high scoring game. They did that earlier in the year against Nemo Rangers in the group stages. They can do both, and I just think that they have that little bit more experience right now than Eve Lira coming into this game. I would expect them to win and to get to the semi-finals against Kilshannon, but it is far, far from a foregone conclusion.
On the pitch wise, where do you think this one could be potentially won and lost?
Middle third, Sean Leary and Kevin Coakley are going to be huge, as is Rory Dean, depending on where they deploy him. Bantry tend to change him around. He doesn't often play at centre forward. He tends to drift out to midfield at start and in around the square as well if needs be. I think, you know, gaining parity in that area, depending on where Eve Lira decide to place Chris Oak-Jones, depending on where they put somebody like Timmy Roberts or Kevin Manning, their wing backs, they might look to flood that middle third and stop the supply into Arthur Coakley, Kevin Casey and James Casey in that Bantry full forward line. I just think with Dean's running ability, Billy Foley, their centre back, but also Shawnee O'Leary is a guy I've mentioned him a couple of times there. He's had a fantastic season for Bantry this year. He may or may not start in their own midfield, but curbing Dean and O'Leary's influence would be huge for O'Leary. They've got to come up with a plan to do that. If they can, they've got plenty of scorers as well. Shawnee Reardon, Brian Cronin, they've got Ian Jones. But it'll be dependent on how well Cathal Vaughan and Chris Oak-Jones go, and who picks those two O'Leary players up as well. It'll be very interesting. Would it be Ronan Lomani? Would it be Billy Foley? Would it be Mark O'Sullivan for Bantry? I do think in around that middle third, I see Bantry getting the edge there. They certainly had it in the opening rounds of this year's championship, and if they can get parity there and get on top, they'll be able to provide the possession for the likes of Arthur Coakley and Kevin Casey and Shane Keevers to do a lot of damage, and I think that's where Bantry will come out on top.
You were down there nice and early, and you got the chance to speak to one of the managers. What did they have to say for themselves about the game?
you don't get much out of the managers before any game, but Barry Oldham, who's led Ivory into the knockout stages this year, just hoping that his players, you know, they just want to get out now and get the warm up, get a touch of the ball, and just really get on with it at this point. And I think Barry has done a really good job. As I said, they were drawn very in a tough group with Ahabulug and Ahada. They put a big score up on Island Rovers the first day, 4-15 to 5 points, but they edged Ahada 1-11 to 0-7 in their second outing. Now, they did lose Ahabulug in their final game, but they were already through at that stage. All that meant is that Ahabulug are gone straight through to the semi-finals as expected, and I very now have an additional game against Bantry Blues if they want to reach the last four. But Barry wasn't given very much away, as you wouldn't expect him to, but and I haven't had a chance to chase down Dale O'Donovan yet. He's avoided me brilliantly so far, but yeah, we'll get a couple of words with the managers, just get a feel for how things are going before the throw-in, and of course they're not giving away any teams just yet. We'll have to wait just before throw-in for that.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to hear the audio after this piece. We'll go to Premier Senior now, and St. Finbar's getting the win over Ballincollig last night in Park Erin.
Yeah, 2-15 to 2-10. The Bears, I mean, I suppose on paper, a lot of people, the Bears, I suppose, topped their group this year, we should say, to come through the group stages, but they suffered a surprise loss to Mallow in the middle of all of that, and had to beat Bally Rovers in their final game to be sure of going through. They certainly did that, and in Park Erin last night in the Premier Senior Football Championship quarterfinals, they had 5 points to spare over Ballincollig in the end. But it was, when you're looking at that scoreline, it was far from a 5 point, you know, straightforward victory. They were under pressure for a long time and trailing as well coming into the final quarter and towards the end. But as ever, and I think this is the difference between the Bears, the Haven and Nemo and the rest of the field in this particular grade, they have the shooters and they have the scorers. Obviously Stephen Sherlock top scored again, the Cork senior, with 10 points, 8 of those from frees, 1 from a 45, just showing how deadly he is. But the likes of Ethan Toomey, Jonathan Wigginton, Barrett and Brian Hayes as well coming up with 1-2. The depth of talent in the contenders, it's clearly evident. And when the chips were down, and the Bears, who have been far from their best this year, I think people would, I don't think that's a wild statement to put, when they had to do it, they got on with it and did what they had to do to see off. In fairness to Podsy O'Mahony and Ballincollig this year, talking to Podsy and Ballincollig during the County League section of this year's, before the championship started, he didn't have a lot of players, huge amount of Ballincollig players were either injured or away. So coming into the championship, drawn against Nemo, Noosestown and Aroog, very, very difficult group there. What Ballincollig have done under Podsy, despite losing to Nemo in their opening game, you know, edging Noosestown by a point and then beating Aroog again in their final two group games, they came in with a bit of confidence, a bit of momentum. But the best defence, I think, of all the grades, I have to be corrected on that, but certainly the Premier Senior grade, and that stood to them up to last night. I think they're well used to playing the Bears. They certainly put in a fantastic showing. Now, they did lose a Cork senior, Luke Fahey, early on in the game with what looked like a nasty injury. Don't have any further details on that, but that was a huge loss to them. Certainly, you know, down the stretch when the game was in the melting pot. But look, Ballincollig have come a long way under Podsy O'Mahony, but that St. Finbar's team, you know, with Ian McGuire, as I said, Wiggins and Barrett, with Brian Hayes, you just look through the team and you look at the players that they're able to call off the bench as well to strengthen their Colin Lyons, Owen McGreevy. Like, I mean, this is a seriously talented Bears squad. You would expect them to be in the Premier Senior shake-up once again this year. It hasn't been plain sailing for them, and they're going to have to seriously improve, because they're now drawn against Castlehaven, probably the favourites for this year's title, in the last four. Now, they've met on so many occasions in the last 5 years. They know each other's cousins and relations at this stage, and we've had some fantastic games between those two, including some memorable penalty shootouts. But I think the Bears will be all the better for coming through such a tough game against Ballincollig last night in Park Erin. Will it be enough to get over to Haven in the semi-finals? I'm not so sure, but we'll certainly see and find out about that in the coming weeks.
Yeah, they'd be a dangerous one if they're hitting form at the right time. Well, they're looking ahead to the matches tomorrow in Premier Senior, but we don't even know if they're going to go ahead yet. Sure, that decision is to be made at 7 o'clock this evening.
Yeah, the news from the Cork County Board earlier today, for anyone who hasn't heard it, is that basically the McCarthy Insurance Group Football Championship, any game scheduled for tomorrow are now in doubt. So there's a status orange rain warning for the county, issued by Met Éireann. which comes into effect from today, which is midday today, for 12 hours. Now, what the county board have said is that if the orange warning remains in place up to 7 p.m. tonight, then the games will be postponed. So the four matches that are under pressure, I suppose, the doubleheader in Bandon, where we were headed for the big red bench, Nemo Rangers and Clonakilty's eagerly anticipated Premier Senior Football Championship quarter final, as well as the Premier Senior Football Championship relegation clash immediately after between Carbery Rangers and Aero. The Clon and Nemo game was down for 2:15, and it's also going to be live on TG Cahir, and the relegation game between Carbery Rangers and Aero is down for 4 p.m. as well as that tomorrow, scheduled for Park Ring, Mitchellstown and Gabriel Rangers are scheduled still at this moment in the Intermediate Football Championship quarterfinals to meet at 2 o'clock, and that's followed then by the other remaining Premier Senior Football Championship quarterfinal between Mallow and the Divisional Colleges section winner Muskerry at 4 p.m. So basically at 7 o'clock tonight, if those fixtures are called off, which it looks like I don't see Met Aaron changing an orange weather warning myself, we'll know at 7 o'clock, those four games will not go ahead on Sunday, as well as a lot, I would imagine, of other Camogie and Ladies Football Championship games as well, unfortunately. And there is an additional headache now as well, because like the likes of Mallow and Emer Rangers are all scheduled for hurling county championship matches the following weekend. So look, the county board, Dan, have got out ahead of it this time. Like last year, Clon played Nemo Rangers in Bandon at the same stage in the quarterfinals in an absolute monsoon, and Nemo won 5-4. I remember that weekend vividly, because I was in a scheme for the big red bench where there was two matches down for decision, and one, because the weather was so bad between Bantry and Nemo, had to be moved to a different pitch. So look, the board have gotten out ahead of it. They've let everyone know if the orange weather warning remains in place at 7 o'clock this evening, those four games that I've just spoken about will not be played tomorrow. When they'll be played, that's a very, very difficult question, as I mentioned, because Mallow, Nemo and a few others all have hurling commitments next weekend. So we could be looking at a midweek game, we could be looking at, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, and it's a difficult one for the county board, but at least they've done the right thing and told supporters ahead of time if the weather warning is there, if it's not safe to play those four matches. And let's not forget either, Dan, there's pitches to look after, because if you were to play a doubleheader in the monsoon weather that we had last year at a similar stage, Park Ring will be out of action for a long time, and the same for Charlie Hurley Park and Bandon. So I think the board have done the right thing. I think they can only go on what Met Aaron are telling them, and if those four games go by the wayside, we'll have to wait and see then what the board comes up with, probably on Monday morning, with what they're going to do with when those games will be rescheduled. But we won't know until 7 o'clock this evening for definite.
What would be your own thinking with the hurling, Joe? Would you go midweek?
I think because the hurling championship is on and scheduled, and there's so many games next weekend, Dan, you just can't fit in the football. I would imagine the following midweek or early the following midweek is the only likelihood. It depends. A lot depends now on, remember, like a lot of the pitches that we're talking about, the hurling county quarterfinals and semifinals going ahead next weekend are on. They'll also be under pressure after this weekend because of the weather as well. So I really don't know, is the honest answer. I mean, if the city, I suppose, Parky Cueve and Parky Ring with the floodlights. I was in Macroom last night for a senior A game in Macroom with a fantastic set of floodlights where you could be played there as well. It's a very, very difficult one. I guess they're just going to have to wait and see. I've never known an orange weather warning to be, you know, called off so soon after being announced for 12 hours for today and tomorrow. So it looks like those matches aren't going to go ahead. We'll know for certain at 7 o'clock again, as I said, but I really don't know. I'm sorry, no, I don't have a better answer than that. If I'm a manager of any of those four teams, I suppose I'd want to play it midweek ahead of the hurling, but then the hurling managers won't want that either if they've got players involved. So it's a very, very tricky one. I would envision the hurling going ahead as expected next weekend, and any football games that can go ahead going ahead the next weekend, and then possibly midweek for the likes of Nemo, for the likes of Mallow and Muskerry. But we'd have to wait and see when it's Muskerry are involved. They're a divisional team as well. Don't forget they've got players involved here now today with O'Leary and other clubs. So it's messy. It's messy, Dan. But look, what can you do? What can you do?
We'll act like the games scheduled tomorrow are going to go ahead. And if it does go ahead, what a mouth-watering one this is. The TG Garra cameras are down for it as well. Clon versus Nemo Rangers, sir.
Yes, two clubs that know each other very, very well down through the last couple of years. Nemo have had a Clon's number, but only by a point or two, only by a point in each of their previous meetings. Nemo have done very, very well this year. They topped their group with maximum points, beating Ballincollig, Newcestown and Aerog. As for Clonakilty, they were in the annual, no, the now annual West Cork Group of Death alongside Castlehaven and Carbery Rangers, as well as St. Michael's. But under Martin O'Brien, Clonakilty won this year's Division 2 County League and qualified or promoted to Division 1, and that's huge for Clonakilty, Dan, because they've been down in Division 2 for a long time. They have a transitional squad at the moment, a lot of young players coming through, and being in Division 1 next year will be a huge, huge bonus for them and a help to them, I think, as well, going into that championship. They had to do it the hard way because they lost to Castlehaven the first day out. They drew in an absolutely cracking game with Carbery Rangers in their second game, and they were 6 points up heading into closing stages when Carbery Rangers earned a draw from the jaws of defeat. But in their final game, group game against St. Michael's, the team that they beat in the County League Division 2 final, which we brought to you on the Big Red Bench this year after extra time, they won very easily, 2-18 to 1-6. Dara Goff and Conor Daly are probably two names new to a lot of people in recent times, but Goff got 1-5, Conor Daly got 7 points, and this is a Clonakilty team with plenty of experience. They've got Cork inter-county experience in Mark White, Sean White, Mara Shanley, David Loney. And they've had a couple of newcomers as well, Simon Murphy and Griffin Wartner, two players that have joined the panel this year. So look, under Martin O'Brien and Owen Ryan and that backroom team, Clan are where they want to be and where they expect it to be in a county quarter final against the Nemo team, as I said, though, that have been just, I wouldn't say they've been imperious or anything, but they've just been doing what Nemo tends to do, and that's just, grind teams down, and they've got so much strength and depth. And that was evident as well in their previous game when they beat Newcestown 2-11 to 11 points. They've got players like Barry Cripps, they've got Brian Hayes, and of course they've got the Cronins in there as well as the evergreen Paul Kerrigan. So look, this Nemo team, very much like Castlehaven, very much like St. Finbar's, really a squad with a lot of depth and a lot of young talent coming through as well. On form right now, and the fact that they've won all three games, you would say Nemo have to be favourites going into that game. But I was asked prior to this weekend if I thought there was going to be a potential upset, where did I see it coming, and I genuinely see it coming in this one. It wouldn't necessarily be a massive upset, but I think this Clan team have gained a lot of momentum since their draw with Carbery Rangers. They've got a lot of different options this year, Clonakilty, compared to last year. A lot of the younger players who are playing Premier Senior for the first time of a year under their belts, and if they're injury free going into this Nemo Rangers game, I think they'll edge this one, and it usually is a cracking game between these two. They like to play open attractive football if they can, and they do match up very, very well. There won't be much in it, but if I was being pushed right now, and it's not because I'm from Clonakilty, to all the Nemo Rangers fans listening in, I genuinely believe that this Clan team is capable of edging Nemo, but they'll have to play to their absolute limit to do it, but I certainly think they can do that.
You'd be hunted out the town if you didn't say that. We'll look at the relegation playoff. Never a nice situation for any club to be in, but it is Carbery Rangers versus Aroge. What way do you see that one falling?
Oh man, this is a very, very difficult one to call, and it's unfortunate when you see two clubs with a lot of prestige. Carbery Rangers, were they to survive, they'd get into 2025 in their 20th year, Dan, as a Premier Senior Football Club, senior club. It's just not gone well for them, not just this season, but frustratingly inconsistent for Seamus Hayes' side. They've been relegated from Division 1 in the County League as well, winning 2 of their 10 games, but I suppose more than anything in this year's championship, they lost to St. Michael's in their opening game, they lost by a goal, and that really put them on the back foot straight away. They fought back brilliantly against Clan and deserved to get a draw, if not more, in their second opening, but they just didn't have any of the artillery that you'd need to overcome Castlehaven in their final match. They lost by 5 points in the end down in Lepp, and they put in a good shift, but Castlehaven just kept them at arm's length all the way through. And August 2022 is the last time Carbery Rangers won a Premier Senior Championship group match. Their form this year, I've seen them on a lot of occasions, just the way things have fallen for me, Dan, and like when they string a full 60 minute performance together, Carbery Rangers are a Premier Senior Football Club. They're well able to hang with the best of them, and they beat Castlehaven in the County League this year, just to prove that. But if they drop, if their performances drop, or if they go to sleep for some periods like 10-15 minutes, which they've done at crucial stages this year, then they get punished. They are in serious danger going into this game of losing their Premier Senior status, and they know that well, but they're up against an Aroge team from Ovens who have lost all three group games to Nemo, Ballincollig and Newcestown. Now, Big Red Bench covered their opening game against Newcestown down in Clonduff back in July. It seems like 100 years ago, but on that particular occasion, Newcestown just outmuscled them. They were just too strong for them all the way through. They had Luke Mead playing really well for them. And Aroge, like, they're reliant still on Daniel Goulding, the ex-Cork senior footballer. They also have, you know, they've got some good young players in that Aroge lineup, don't get me wrong, but Goulding's name is the one that keeps popping up each game as the one as their primary scorers. And I think that's where the trouble lies. If you're a team in this particular competition, the Premier Senior, you've got to have 2, 3, 4, 5 different shooters, you know, showing up every week to give you that chance and to give you that opportunity to get over the line. And they have got players of that like, they've got McGordrick, they've got O'Shea, they've got a couple of good, very, very good young players. But, you know, they were well beaten by Nemo Rangers, they were well beaten by Ballincolly the last day out, and they've been in this position before Aroge, like a couple of years ago in a relegation bother, so it's not new to them. But based on what I've seen, they're going to have to produce their best performance of the last 2 or 3 years if they want to get over Carbery Rangers. Seamus Hayes and the West Cork club, look, as I said, they've struggled. They're in transition. John Hayes, who's Seamus's brother and former Cork senior footballer, his influence on the pitch has been lost. He's obviously retired and was there. The county championship's out now, top scorer for so many years. They certainly have enough experience and enough young talent, I think, if they can string a full 60-minute performance to get over Aroge. But they haven't shown that in their recent games, and that's the worry. So two teams desperately out of form, two teams desperate to retain their Premier Senior status. If it's played tomorrow, whenever it is played, I do think if they play to their absolute optimum and if everyone shows up, I think Carbery Rangers will edge that one. But it's so tight when it gets to relegation, it's going to be a low scoring affair, and that means it's going to go right down to the wire. Holding your nerve in games like this is easy to say, but when it's relegation playoff, it's very, very difficult. I do think, though, that Carbery Rangers should do it, but they've got to show up and they've got to put in a full 60-minute performance.
A quick prediction on Mallow versus Musgrave.
Yeah, this is an interesting one in the Premier Senior Football Championship quarterfinals, I suppose. Musgrave have come through the divisional and colleges section and been very, very impressive in doing so. Like, always a pro tradition down there in Musgrave and all the clubs that get involved in that. And they had a real shootout with Avondhu in this year's final. It was back in June. It seems like 100 years ago now, but it was back in June, and they won 3-16 to 3-13, and that was one of the games of the season, if not the game of the championship. Mallow, for me, have been the surprise package this year, because we alluded to it earlier on, but their 2-point victory over St Finbarr's in this year's championship, they didn't get out of the group as group winners because they were held by Valley Rovers and they lost to Douglas. So it's been a mixed bag, a win, a loss and a draw, but they showed in that win over the Barrs that if they get their act together and everyone's available, they're certainly a very, very difficult team and will be a difficult prospect. The only thing is, depending on how the intermediate games go, the Premier Intermediate games go this weekend, Musgrave will know who they have available coming into that quarter final, and just because of the pick that they have and the performances they've put in so far, I do think Musgrave will edge that one, but it will be very close.
The Doheny's versus Killamatter, you were there in Macroom last night. Can you talk us through that one?
Yeah, in the McCarthy Insurance Group Senior A Football Championship, one of my favourite championships every year, because it's just so hard to call. Now, Doheny's are a West Cork club from Dunmanway. They got to the final last year only to be beaten by the Senior A Hurling and Football Double County Champions Newcestown into the cider. But they're back in another semi-final, and that's because last night in Macroom they beat Killamatra 2-14 to 14 points. It was as close as the scoreline suggests. The two goals, obviously, when you look at the scoreline, proved crucial, but you know, Doheny's were in control for long stretches of it, and on two different occasions Killamatra had to fight back to draw level. But coming down the stretch, a magnificent goal from Adam O'Donovan for Doheny's into the top corner looked to have set them on their way to victory early in the second half, only for Killamatra to fight back and draw a level 1-9 to 12 points coming down the stretch. And then the most unfortunate thing, you rarely see it, but an own goal, Dan, in a Senior A football game. A long ball into the goalkeeper was spilled, hit off, ricocheted off a defender.
Oh, no.
Rolled over the line, and disaster for obviously for Killamatra. And from that point onwards, Doheny's just kicked for home. They've got a lot of talented players in that squad. They've got Owen Lavers, they've got Keith White, they've got Mark Buckley, and they, last night, what was really pleasing from Declan O'Dwyer, their manager's point of view, their defence stood up brilliantly against a very, very talented, as I said, Killamatra team. You know, recently got into an All-Ireland Intermediate Football Final, won a Munster and Intermediate Championship not so long ago. This is a very, very stacked team as well that they beat. beat, but Donnies are back into a semi-final where they're going to take on Knocknagree, the team they beat last year at the same stage. And on the other side of the draw, Kanturk are awaiting the Carrigaline and Bishopstown game to see who they feel. So don't ask me who's going to win this, because it's so wide open. But because Donnies have been here before, and because the manner in which they won last night, so impressive against Kilnamatra, I think they are, even though they won't like me for saying it, but I think they are now one of the favourites for this championship, provided they can reproduce the form and the full 60 minute performance they showed last night. But they saw off a really talented Kilnamatra team to do so, and from front, defence, midfield and back, they look very, very solid and will take a lot of beating.
Island Rovers versus Macroom, now a game going on at the moment as of recording, but that's a huge relegation playoff to have in the Premier Intermediate.
It is, and look, Island Rovers from down in Baltimore and West Cork have been decimated, absolutely decimated by immigration in recent times. We saw them earlier on in the year, and we covered them against Ahabulloch for the Big Red Bench, and from speaking to their backroom team, they could have named 15 players then that are currently in America and Australia. They've lost pretty much a whole team over the past 2 to 3 years and have suffered consecutive relegations. They lost all three group games this year against Ahabulloch, Oilera and Ada. Very, very young, very, very raw team, and look, they're up against it. There's just no two ways about it. They're playing a Macroom team, though, that have also surprisingly suffered three defeats on the trot. They lost to Kilshenig, Rockchapel and Castletown Burner. They're three very talented teams, to be fair to Macroom, but I suppose the headline here is that the former Kerry Intercounty star and All-Star Aidan O'Mahony is involved with them this year. But their defeats were disappointing. Like, they lost heavily to Kilshenig the last day out. They lost by 5 points to Rockchapel. I suppose the one that killed them was the 2 point defeat to Castletown in Ockerville in their second game. That was the one, I suppose, they'd have earmarked to try and get a result in. But they find themselves in relegation bother, but the two teams desperately short of form, and because both sides, you know, have yet to win a game this year, it's just very, very difficult to call. So I know the game is ongoing. I don't know how it's going at the moment, but if you were pushing me for a prediction,
Macroom are leading by 1 point. It's currently at half time and it's 7 points to 1-5.
Yeah, so I would have said Macroom just about, but look, the pressure that's on the young players involved here today is very, very difficult for them. There's a lot of young players in both those teams that have had to be blooded earlier than expected, and that's what happens when it comes to, you know, immigration, and teams are struggling for players and for various different reasons. And two pro clubs with a pro history in at the top tier of Cork football, not just in the Premier Intermediate, but unfortunately for Island Rovers, I do think Macroom just had that bit more experience than their opponents, and I would expect them to see over the second half and stay up.
Joe McCarthy, thank you very much. Plenty of GA action around this weekend. Well, or not, it's yet to be decided, really, I guess. But enjoy Bantry Blues versus Ive Leary anyway, and I'm sure you'll have all the updates for us on the Big Red Bench X-Count.
I will indeed. Good to talk to you then.
Cheers, Joe.
Yeah, huge. All right, buddy. Cheers, man. Thanks.
Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Huge thanks to Joe McCarthy there. The ref's whistle has gone for halftime. Come back to us in the second half. We'll be hearing from Irish Rugby Internationals Calvin Nash and Christy Haney. Don't go anywhere.
Red Bench.
Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Alright, welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times. Red FM. Dan Casey in the hot seat for the next, I was going to say half an hour, but 20 minutes really. Now, during the week I was over the moon to catch up with Munster starlet and Irish international Calvin Nash to discuss Munster, Snaeman and Ireland. Calvin was speaking to me at the launch of this season's Tackle Your Feelings campaign. Enjoy.
How are you going on? Well, Calvin, what's the crack, my man?
All good.
Lots of stuff. Named Munster Player of the Year. How big of an honour was that for yourself?
Yeah, massive honour. I was a bit surprised, to be honest. It hadn't even come into my head, really. Just hoping that I won it, I suppose. But yeah, look, massively privileged to be voted for that among the lads. You know, I suppose a nice little reward for a lot of hard work throughout the year.
And how have you reflected on that year? I mean, you ended that season on some form of Munster.
Yeah, we had some massive performances throughout the year, and you know, but it was very disappointing the way we lost in Thomond Park. Obviously, I wasn't able to take part in that game as well, which kind of made it a bit worse for me looking on from the sideline. It's never nice being knocked out of a competition, so. Yeah, but look, I suppose we'll use that as fuel this year and hopefully right the wrongs from last year.
What are you earmarking now down as expectations for the season ahead?
Look, obviously every year we want to win silverware, but I think from my point of view, looking into games, I feel like if we're more consistent with our performances, we'll have better results and probably relieve a bit of pressure that we had towards the end of last year. You know, I think at one stage last year we were in like 11th or 12th, and then, you know, finishing top of the log was obviously very impressive for us, but we just kind of put ourselves under a lot of pressure that we had to win, we had to get bonus points, and, you know, sometimes that has an effect on the team. So yeah, more consistent throughout the year would probably be the main theme, I'd say.
Will Zeebo be a big loss in that dressing room this year now?
Yeah, he will. The dressing room's a bit quieter, I suppose. He's always shouting, screaming, acting the bollocks. I don't know if you're allowed to put that in, sorry.
We'll get away with it.
But no, he's a great lad. He's some crack to have. And towards the end of the season, we brought in because he basically never does any gym work, so he'd just be up doing, you know, his music. So towards the end of the year, I think it was Shane Daly brought in some decks for him, and we had the DJ decks up for him, so he was having some crack with that. It was a good laugh now.
At least you've got to look forward to towards retirement anyway, whenever you get to that stage.
Yeah. Bit of crack with Zeebs after retirement, is it?
Tyke Byrne as captain, what were your initial thoughts on hearing that one?
Yeah, unreal. He's a lad that has been kind of leading from the front with his performances, and look, I think he has a great group around him as well to help him in his captaincy. The likes of Dermot Barron, Jack O'Neill, Pete's still there, you know, there's a lot of lads that he can lean on for advice, and obviously to help him throughout the pitch work and dealing with refs as well. So look, very excited for him to be our captain, and massive honour for him as well, so congrats to him.
Has Graham been giving you a particular mentor coming into this season now, or is he just kind of leaving you speak with it amongst yourselves?
No, like, he always would be on about us working as hard as we can, but also being smart, and I suppose just trying to develop our game as a whole, not kind of just being one trick ponies. But yeah, look, he's very good that he has the players well involved as well, and it's not just him dictating to everyone, and like that as well. He has a great coaching set up around him. So yeah, I think he's, as he's shown in his first year there, he's a great lad to lead us as well, and I think everyone looks up to him, and he's a great coach and a great person. So yeah, I suppose he wants us just to put our best foot forward at the start of the season now.
We all know the URC is a great competition, but being from Munster myself, we all know how important European competition is to Munster people. Is that going to be the focus now coming into this season?
Yeah, look, we were massively disappointed for the way that Europe ended for us last year. But as I said, I feel like if we can just be consistent in our performances, I feel like we'll have some great results again. I feel like maybe in Europe last year we didn't really play to 80 minutes, or, you know, we might have had a good start, but then pretty much terrible finish, or the opposite way around. And look, in the European competition, you don't get away with that stuff. So I think if we can just be, like I say, consistent, hopefully we'll have better performances.
International-wise, what are you marking for yourself this year? Is just nailing down a consistent starting spot within the team?
Yeah, I just want to get into camp and, you know, as I said, hopefully I'm putting my best foot forward along with Munster, but as long as I'm playing as best as I can, hopefully that's good enough to get into the starting jersey again. But yeah, look, obviously it's a massive goal of mine to be starting in that team, and I really want to try and nail down that spot.
What was it like walking into that Irish dressing room or camp for the first time and seeing all these players with all their vast experience?
Yeah, I think it's a bit odd because, like, you'd rarely see them outside of just playing against them or on TV. So I suppose the hardest thing for me going up was just making connections with them, because you're essentially trying to make friends with lads that you've always just been competing against. And that's just a bit of a change in mindset. But to be honest, man, all the lads just welcome you with open arms, and they're top lads. And yeah, they're proper team players as well, try to get you up to speed as quick as possible. So it's an unbelievable environment up there.
It's going to be weird playing against now Snaeman this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think it will be weird, to be honest. Look, as I said as well, he's a great lad. Obviously played against him in the summer. You know, we had a few bad words for him, myself and Craig, but I met him recently anyways, and look, he's still apologetic over everything. So look, it is what it is now, and yeah, hopefully he goes well with Leinster. You know, he didn't have the best few years here in Munster injury wise, so hopefully it turns around for him up there as well.
What was the South African tour like for yourself? It must have been some experience for you.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. You know, I always thought the crowds were unreal in South Africa, but God, when the international games are on, it's an even better level. You know, the crowds are absolutely insane, but in a great way. They bring so much to the atmosphere. But yeah, obviously disappointing the way the first result went. I feel like a lot of us maybe didn't play our best, and you know, South Africa punished us first, and we were put under a lot of pressure in that game. But yeah, unreal to obviously turn it around in the end and probably the saviour. But what a game that was. You know, it was massively physical, as was the first game. But yeah, happy to have drawn it, I suppose, and in a good way, I suppose, complaining about not having two wins in their home patch, you know.
I know we're stuck for time here, so I'll leave you with this last one. Simon needs to be his head coach. Have you had any dealings with Simon previously, and what are you expecting from him in that Irish setup?
Yeah, obviously Side has had a massive role in like the defense of our team and stuff. So, you know, you'd always be bouncing off him. But at the same time, my first like kind of dealing with him was with the immersion tour. So he was head coach for that as well. And that was kind of my first dealings with him. And look, I think he's a great coach and a great person as well to take hold of a team. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what way he directs us and how it goes.
Legend Calvin, appreciate it, man.
Thank you, cheers.
And I also caught up with Leinster star and Irish international Christy Haney.
Christy, Dan here, how are you getting on?
Good, thanks. Good.
I see you're out injured at the moment, though. Can you talk us through the details of that injury and when you're expected to be back?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was one of the tackles against Australia. I tore my MCL. So as far as the injuries go, it's not the worst. So I'm looking at 4 to 8 weeks.
4 to 8 weeks. And will it be tough, you know, looking on in Vancouver when they're off there?
Yeah, of course. Like the whenever you get injured, you're devastated to be missing out whatever competition is on at the minute. It's never a good time to be injured, for sure. But no, it'll be hard to be missing out. But I'm really excited for the girls over there, and definitely going to be supporting them, even if it is 3 a.m. on a Monday morning for their match.
we'll enjoy that one. Yeah. What are your hopes with Leinster this year, provincial wise?
So the women's Leinster season is actually, it's quite small and condensed. So we finished our competition there just before Canada. So that was phenomenal. It was a really good run of it. We lost against Munster, but then we were able to come back against them in the final and perform the way we had wanted to in the first meeting. The next competition that we have to look forward to is the Celtic Cup. So that will be, I believe it's a similar format to how they've done it last year, where it's kind of an amalgamation of Leinster and Ulster play on a team. And then the other team is kind of a mixing of Connacht Munster. Now that's kind of a general template for us. It's not the rule, but yeah, so I'm really excited for that. It's a longer tournament this year. I think it's 17 weeks as opposed to it was a few weeks shorter last year. And then, yeah, hoping for Leinster again next summer. It's always a really exciting time in the calendar to put on the blue.
Is it a tough playing in that amalgamation of two provinces rather than just the Irish team or just the Leinster team?
It is, but I think it makes us kind of more holistic players in that you get completely different coaching panels, you get different methodologies. Now with the Celtic Cup, it will be quite similar, I think, kind of philosophies of rugby as the Irish team. But then Leinster is that little bit different, and even club, which I'm hoping to, now that I'm out of the Canada tour, I might get a few minutes with Black Rock this year, which I previously probably wouldn't have, the way the calendars are set up. But you get to play with different people, you get to see different things and come across kind of different challenges, which just makes you that bit more robust when you're going in to play with the next team.
International-wise, is your season really just hinging all around the Six Nations?
Yeah, so obviously all summer was kind of, we were playing the Interpros, but the focus was Canada. So now that I've picked up the injury, kind of are changing lanes and switching to kind of a different focus. So for me, that will be the Celtic Challenge first, to put me in the best position that I can be for the Six Nations. And then Six Nations hopefully will be that platform to perform at the World Cup stage at the end of next year.
Six Nations wise, what do the Irish team now need to do to really kick it on and drive forward in the competition?
I think it's all about winning those micro challenges within a game. So whether we're up against Scotland or whether we're up against England, it's performing at every tackle, performing at every breakdown, and winning the game through those smaller pieces to put together kind of the bigger puzzle that's going to lead us into a successful kind of campaign at the World Cup.
Yeah, and how are you feeling about the World Cup?
Yeah, great. It seems like it's a million years away, but at the same time, it feels like it's just around the corner. So it's just trying to balance all of the stages that lead up and that build into that, and kind of optimizing each of them as much as you can and get the most out of whatever we're doing at the minute.
I mean, we're quite a few months away, but is that something you start thinking about now? I know if I was going to World Cup, I'd be thinking about it night and day.
In fairness, it's been something that we've been thinking about for a while now, just in terms of like our growth plan as a team. We kind of have this upward trajectory mindset of where is it that we're going and how do we perform to the best of our ability now in order to get there. So it's kind of like any challenge in life, like you break it down into those smaller deliverables that get you there, because you're not going to bite it all off in one chunk.
Are you confident you're pushing along nicely on that upward trajectory?
Yeah, 100%. I think we've really great momentum. Obviously, we didn't have a great Six Nations in 2023, but then we were able to reset and kind of refocus our team culture and our environment and our game plan into Dubai, which led us into a really good Six Nations this year. So that momentum that we've gained and that confidence that we have now as a team is a really kind of a robust engine now that we're just trying to keep fueling.
One thing I thought that was really good about the Women's Six Nations squad was you went around the country, was Dublin, Cork and Belfast.
Yeah.
Was that a hindrance ultimately taken away from Dublin, or do you think that was a good idea and had throughout the game?
No, like, look, I suppose you can kind of, you can frame it in any way that you want. I quite like it. Just that experience of being in front of different crowds. Now, a lot of people still travel to all three, which is phenomenal. And that support is incredible for us as a team to have a stadium that's behind us. And it speaks to that a connected culture, that connected team with Ireland that we want to build. So I quite enjoy it personally as a player. I really like all those stadiums. I've played in them all a good bit now for the last couple of years. So they all kind of have started to feel a bit like home.
On the men's side of things, I don't know, do you even watch the games? I don't know if you have any interest. I'm going to presume you do, though. They've come up short now quite famously on a number of occasions, just short of winning a trophy. What do you think they need to do now this season to kick it on?
Yeah, I do watch the men's game a bit in between, you know, my own video analysis and watching our own games. But any team is going to go through wins and losses, and it's that the I suppose the mental awareness and the mental kind of resilience that you have as a team and as individuals, which is something that the TYF program actually speaks about in their, it's an 8-week course that they offer to teachers, and it's for kind of 14 to 19 year olds, and it gives them those tools for like when things aren't going right, what is it that you do? And is that, for me personally, it's a reset. So like I love kind of the natural resets within a rugby match. So for me, that's set piece. I get to kind of reset at every stage. And then at a bigger, more like, you know, look, you're looking at the year, whether it's the men's team or whether it's our team, you're looking at tournament to tournament. So what are your resets? What is it that you're going to come back to and refocus on as you go forward? So look, there's no perfect answer, but I think just kind of, you know, keeping the head down and going in the right direction.
Well, it's nice when your resets are RG Snaiman and Shardy Barrett, isn't it?
I love it.
Yeah. Do you think that'll bring its own added pressure now that it's like, this is crunch time here, bringing in those two huge assets?
Look, I like you hear a lot of athletes say it, like pressure is a privilege. Yeah, it's going to bring pressure. But with that, you know, you can kind of get some moments of kind of amazingness as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You're speaking about the TYF program here. How did you get involved in it yourself?
So it's a program that I've heard about. This is my first year being an ambassador, but it's going out to schools and educating kind of those 14 to 19 year olds. And I personally had a really a great experience in school. I had a lot of opportunities available to me, but nothing quite like this. So hearing about this and what it is that they do, the fact that it's, you know, it's free of charge for teachers, that you get kind of role models into the classroom, whether that's the men's or the women's team coming in and talking to the kids. I just think it's such an important thing to educate about and to give kids the opportunity to learn about, because a lot of them are doing it anyways. A lot of them have kind of resilient tools that they're using, but they just don't know what to call it or how to make it that little bit better for themselves.
Have you been out to a few schools lately, and what's the reception been like?
I haven't personally been out, but it's been out to any schools, but it's something that I'm looking forward to do. Like I said, this is my first year doing it. I've done a couple school visits for, I'm a structural engineer as well. So I've done, Engineers Ireland have programs where you go out into schools and you chat to kids. And then I'm also quite involved in the BlackRock Minis as well. So I love getting involved with kids, their enthusiasm for life in general, but also for rugby or for engineering or for whatever it is, kind of gives you that, that boost up yourself to just be excited about what it is that you're doing.
Well, you won't hold you to anything, but it sounds like you might be interested in coaching in the future, just judging off of that.
I do. I would. I'd love to coach. I love working. I'm working mostly with under 12s at the minute. Although a few of my under 12s I saw play in an under 14s match last weekend and they were absolutely flying it. So I really enjoy that age group. But I'd say my technical expertise probably lays in the scrum, which is a few years on. So I might have to look at getting involved with older teenagers.
Well, Christy Haney, thanks so much for speaking. Just said best luck anyway when you get to that stage with him.
Cheers. Thanks so much, Dan. Great chatting to you.
Yeah, huge thanks to all the contributors here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. That's all we have time for. But Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.
The Big Red Bench
with Ford Gosh Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's Good Times Red FM.